Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Stand for the reading of the word. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of the sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. I would like to speak to you this morning from chapter verse 10. You are complete in him. You may be seated.
Praise God.
Complete in Christ. All right. Boy, this is an important part of the service right here. And you know, it always awes me to think of the awesome responsibility of standing before a congregation and delivering the Word of God. What an awesome responsibility. For the Bible tells us that what we say from this Word is either going to save you or doom you according to how you react to it. So he says, Paul says, we are unto God a sweet savor. Of some we are a savor of death. To others we are the savor of life. Because it matters how you react to the Word of God. To some it's death dealing because they refuse to obey it. And to others it is life giving because they submit to it. The Apostle Paul said, Lord, who is sufficient for these things? And I cry, Lord, who is sufficient for these things? But we're going to the Word of God this morning and see that we are complete in Christ Jesus. The ongoing challenge of the church, listen to this. The ongoing challenge of the church and of the Christian is to keep our focus upon Jesus. Did you know that? That it is the devil's business to get your focus off of Jesus Christ, to get your focus on something else inferior to Christ, and to draw you away from him. And God wants us to keep our focus on Jesus Christ. He wants us to retain a correct understanding of Jesus and to maintain a close relationship with the Son of God. That relationship, if it is cultivated, that relationship with Christ will affect our behavior. You are complete in Christ. This church at Colossae was facing a challenge from false teachers, a strong challenge, who were seeking to diminish the role of Jesus in salvation. They didn't really deny that Jesus was a part of it. They just sought to diminish the role of Jesus in salvation. And the Apostle Paul is writing to them, letting them know, hey, look, you are complete in Christ Jesus. My text teaches us three things about Jesus. Number one, he is essential. Number two, he is effective. And number three, he is enough. That's what my text teaches us this morning. He is essential. Salvation is referred to in this text as receiving Christ Jesus the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what it means to be saved. To receive Christ Jesus the Lord. You remember Jesus saying, he came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. For most people, Jesus is despised. and rejected of men. You know, they have a picture of Jesus, and he's standing at a door knocking, turned as if he's expecting to be sent away. Because most often, he is sent away. And the Bible tells us that Jesus was despised and rejected of men. He is offensive to people who are determined to maintain control of their life. Because salvation, as you can read in my text, is receiving Christ Jesus the Lord. Hey, there's a lot of people accepting another Jesus. But if you want to be saved, you've got to accept the Jesus of the Bible. He is the Lord. That means you've got to turn loose of your life, give him control of your life. And for that reason, Christ is offensive to a world determined to maintain control of their own life. If you want to be saved, you've got to receive Christ Jesus the Lord. If you shall believe in your heart or confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's nobody like Jesus. You hear me? I said there's nobody like Jesus. Never been another one like the Son of God. He's exclusive in his claims. If you look in the first chapter of Colossians, he's the image, verse 15, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. By him were all things created that are in heaven, in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things. By him all things consist or are held together by the Creator, the Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, there's nobody can make the claims that Jesus made. Nobody could say about death, I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it up again. Jesus Christ is the Creator of all things. Nothing was made without him. I said nothing was made without him. Those who come around saying that Jesus is a creature, that he's been created, the Bible tells us that there was nothing made that he didn't make. He's exclusive in his claims. He's exclusive in his commitment. When I read about the commitment of Jesus Christ to me and you, in verse 20 of the first chapter of Colossians, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, that is by Jesus, to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled to God. That is, he's made peace with God for us through the blood of his cross, so that we who were once enemies of God, we were against God, through the blood of the cross, Jesus Christ has settled the enmity between us and God and made peace by his cross. I don't talk much about my commitment to him anymore. I'm not too impressed by my commitment to him. But I'll tell you what I am impressed by. I'm impressed by his commitment to me. I found out God is far more committed to me than I am to him. So if I'm going to talk about commitment, I'm going to talk about his commitment to me, brother. He went to the cross and died for me. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus has demonstrated his commitment to us. And brother, tell me, you go through history and tell me somebody who's committed to us like Jesus was. Tell me anybody that loved us like Jesus did. I'm telling you, there's nobody like the Son of God. He gave his life for you. He knew what you were. He knew your sins. And he loved you in spite of your sins and gave his life for you. Nobody like Jesus. He's essential to our salvation. Nobody else can save you. Nothing else can save you. I can't save you. I'm a preacher, but I can't save you. Praise God. This is a good church, but this church can't save you. The only person that can save you is Jesus Christ, and He is essential to your salvation. You must receive Christ Jesus the Lord. He's exclusive in His credentials. Nobody else has the credentials of the Son of God. My text says, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Who else could say, if you have seen me, you have seen God the Father? Who else could say that, brother? There ain't nobody could say that. There's nobody with the credentials of Jesus Christ. In Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So He could say, if you've seen me, you have seen God the Father. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, hallelujah. Do you see what I'm doing this morning? I'm telling you about the only one that can save your soul. It is the devil's business to get your mind off of Jesus, and God wants you focused on the only one that can save your soul. He's essential. Not only is He essential, He is effective. A proper relationship with Jesus Christ produces a new way of life. Hallelujah. So He says in verse 6 of my text, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Walk is action, a way of life, a way of living. You believed on Jesus and received eternal life. Now believe on Him. You see, it's not enough. Jesus doesn't just say, come unto me. He says, follow me. So, there's a walk to this. Receiving Jesus leads to following Jesus. Have y'all got a few minutes to stay with me? I feel like God gave me a message for you, and I don't want to take too much of your time. So, pray for me that I'll be able to deliver this right, and pray for me that I'll be able to deliver it fast so you don't get tired of it. Okay? Are you praying? Are you praying? All right, here we go. I want you to understand, Jesus is effective. Oh yeah. Praise God. I know it doesn't seem that way sometimes. But I'm telling you, when you really believe on Him, in the Bible sense of the word, it is effective in changing the direction of your life. If your life is not changed, if you're sitting here this morning, maybe sometime in the past, your life has been changed, but it's not changed now, then you have been led away from the one that changes lives. Oh, yeah. You know, in chapter 1 of this same book, in verse 10, Paul was praying for this church. He said in verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That is, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him in every way. Hey, when Jesus comes into our life, He starts us on a path that pleases God. As I preached to you last Sunday night, we can have a testimony that we please the Lord. American Christianity has reduced faith in Jesus to just a fire escape. So we believe on Jesus so we won't go to hell. Hey, that's not what believing on Jesus is all about. I mean, that's part of it. But that's just a minor part of it. You see, what we do when we believe on Jesus is we get a new kind of life, a brand new life, a brand new direction in life, a brand new power working in our life. Hallelujah. We get brand new desires. Oh yeah, the old desires are gone. The old way of living is gone. The old man is dead. God gives us a new life, a new man, a new direction in life. Believing on Jesus.
Oh, God.
I just read some disturbing things. I think it was in Christianity Today. A man by the name of Ron Sider. He's a professor of theology at Eastern Baptist Theological Seminary. And he wrote a book recently called The Scandal of the evangelical conscience. And in this article, or this book, and they've interviewed this man, Simon, he was bemoaning the condition of the lives of evangelical Christians in America. He said poll after poll shows that evangelical Christians, and when I say evangelical Christians, I mean those who profess to be born-again Christians, who profess to believe the Bible, who sit in conservative churches across this country. Cyrus says that poll after poll shows that evangelical Christians live just like the world. Did y'all hear that? Now, this is not a holiness preacher talking. I mean, I'm just repeating what this man said, okay? So, if you got a prejudice against holiness preachers, I'm telling you, this was not a holiness preacher saying that. He says evangelical Christians live just like the world. He mentioned that 90% of so-called born-again Christians who are divorced get divorced after they claim to get saved. Now then, the divorce rate is higher in the church than it is outside the church. He said physical and sexual abuse in evangelical homes is about the same as it is anywhere else. So you've got wife beaters and abusers. I'm telling you, you don't have to strike anybody in your home to be an abuser. You can just use language that abuses people. And I know that can happen. I have kinfolk that's happened to where they were stripped of all their self-assurance by a family member just constantly hurling at them accusations, calling names, reviling, all sorts of ugly language. And I know that that happens. He said the average evangelical gives about 4.2% of his income to the church, when the Bible says that 10% is just the starting point of giving. And when you look at the whole range of churches, and they average about 2.6% of their income. Did you know that giving is just one measure of your devotion to God? So how you give speaks of how much devotion you have toward God. And not only how much you give, but how much you've got left over when you give.
Help him, Lord.
I mean, you know, for somebody in this church to give $10 may be harder for somebody than somebody else to give $100.
That's right.
God looks at that. He knows the proportion of what we're giving. In the current Christianity Today magazine, there's a woman named Lauren Winter who wrote a book on chastity. She writes that two-thirds, y'all hear me?
Yes.
Two-thirds of single Christians interviewed, three separate surveys in the 1990s, two-thirds of single Christians were defiled sexually. Two-thirds. She quotes Greg Thompson, a campus pastor right up here at Charlottesville at the University of Virginia, who said, hear this, every dating couple he had counseled except one spoke of moral failure. He mentioned every college pastor I've talked to about this says the same thing. Their students, even those in their leadership groups, people leading Bible studies and so forth, y'all get this, are sexually out of control. These are people who say we are born again, and they are sexually out of control. I'm here to tell you, brother, that this is not the salvation Jesus came to bring us. Jesus is not only essential, Jesus is effective
yes,
in curing the sin problem in our life.
Yes, he
You don't keep on committing fornication. You don't keep on doing your ugly deeds. And when Jesus comes into your life, you see, you and I, every day of our life, we are confronted by clear evidence that the majority of church people have a wicked and adulterous spirit. We can see it in the way they dress. We can see it in their conduct.
Yes.
We can hear it in their conversation. I'm telling you that the spirit and teaching of Jezebel dominates in the church world. And the harlot of Revelation chapter 17 is handing out the wine of her fornication.
Yes.
And the church world is accepting it. Did you hear me? I said the harlot in Revelation chapter 17 is handing out the wine of her fornication, and the church world is accepting it. Did you hear me? I want you to know, brother, that the Christianity you see around you is not normal Christianity. The Christianity you see around you is not biblical Christianity. There is a Savior who saves from sin. There's a Christ who knows what to do to deliver you from sin. He is effective, brother. I said He's effective. When you get to know Him, when He lives in you, hallelujah, when He's seated on the throne of your life, He makes a difference in your life.
Help me, God.
Now y'all ready to dismiss? Hey, listen to this scripture. In my text, in verse 8, He says, this is a problem. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. I'm telling you, this church world, it says, hey, all this righteous living is not necessary. Look at us. Look at the fine church building we've got. Look at the crowd we've got. Look at the money that's rolling in. Look at all the success we're having. We don't live like that. That's not important to us. God's blessing us. Hey, don't be spoiled through philosophy and vain deceit. Notice He said also in verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward. And brother, people are listening to the wrong voices. If you will listen to the word of God, God will teach you what is important to Him. If you just go to Colossians chapter 5 right quick. Look at this. I'm sorry. Chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And verse 7. He mentions a walk of these people in their past. He says in verse 7, in the which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. That is, He's referring to their way of life before they met Jesus. Here's what the way of life was characterized by in verse 5. Fornication. Fornication being any sexual sin. Uncleanness, which is a moral uncleanness. Inordinate affection, which is sensual appetites. Evil concupiscence, which is unholy, evil, shameful desires. Covetousness, which is greed. And the Bible says it's the same thing as idolatry. And the wrath of God comes on these people who do these kinds of things. Now listen to me. This passage of Scripture tells us that the whole range of sexual sins belong to our past. And he lists them there. Pornography is part of that. You hear me? I said pornography is part of that list. It is that inordinate affection. It's that evil concupiscence. Pornography is part of that. Lustful gazing. You don't have to have a magazine to be full of lust. You don't have to go on the internet to be full of lust. You can go down to Walmart and see plenty and be filled with lust. Amen. Lustful gazing, lust-inducing dress and behavior. That's part of this unholy desire that He's talking about. Homosexuality, premarital sex, extramarital sex, shacking up without being married. All of that's part of these sins that belong to our life before we met Jesus Christ. And then He ties all of those wicked and vile lusts with covetousness and greed, because it's the same spirit Same spirit. And listen to me now. Whereas he said concerning this church at Colossae, these sins belong to your past. In the American church, these sins are alive and well. It's not part of our past. It's part of our present. Did I lose you? Boy, it got really dead there. It's like in a dead spot. Well, I tell you, brother, the new life in Jesus Christ involves the death of evil passions, the death of wicked conversation, the death of bad, ugly jokes. It involves a change of life and a change of attitude. It affects our personal behavior, affects our conversation, it affects our family, it affects everything that we do. When we come to Jesus, He gives us a brand new life. Hallelujah. When you receive Christ, you reject sin. You hear me? I said, when you receive Christ, you reject sin. You cannot at the same time entertain Christ and entertain sin in your life. It don't work that way. Jesus is effective. If Jesus is your Lord, sin cannot be your Lord. I'm going to try to hasten here. Thursday night, I drove my parents home from Alabama. We got in way in the night, after midnight. Pulled up under my dad's shed. I glanced to my left, and there's a man sitting on the porch with a bag. And I recognized him after a moment. I said, "Y'all got company." My dad don't know who he is. Doesn't recognize him. His eyesight's bad. He gets out and goes up and says, "Who are you?" I've known this young man for years. In and out of church. And so we got out. We just wore out. After midnight, been on the road for hours. In a strange situation. And invited him in. Mama fed him. Said he just checked out of the hospital. Wanted my dad to pray for him. So we sat down in the living room. We tried to get things out of the car. Finally, I got to where I could give him some attention. I went in there and sat down with him. "What you doing here? Where'd you come from?" He began to tell me some things about his life. Checked himself in, drugs. His father was a homeless preacher. Checked himself into the hospital for drugs. Been in and out of the hospital. He had been in trouble with the law. His health didn't look to be very good. And I want to tell you, young folks, sin looks real glamorous at first. But then payday comes down the road. If you get caught up in this kind of lifestyle, I'll tell you, you got three choices. You're going to go to jail, or you're going to the insane asylum, or you're going to hell fast if you don't get right with God. I'm telling you, that's the only three choices you got. You're either going to jail, you're going to the insane asylum, or you're going to hell fast if you don't get right with God. Hallelujah. And this boy was in bad shape. And I sat down and talked to him. He knew what it was, the gospel message. You can lose it, though. I'll tell you, you can lose it. If you neglect the gospel message, if you neglect the light, there'll come a time when you don't know what the light is. You live in darkness long enough, you reject the truth long enough, there comes a time you don't know what the truth is. I talked to that boy about the gospel, what Jesus could do for him. And I said, I'm going to tell you something. If you will make Jesus the Lord of your life, if you'll make that decision to invite Jesus into your heart and life, you'll give Him the throne of your life. Drugs cannot be the Lord of your life when Jesus is the Lord of your life. Do you hear me? I said, drugs cannot be the Lord of your life when Jesus is the Lord of your life. And I don't care what it is. pornography, lust, whatever it is, it cannot be the Lord of your life when Jesus is the Lord of your life. Jesus is effective in delivering men from the bondage of sin. When Jesus is your Lord, sin cannot be your Lord. That sounds too simple. I know, but it's the truth. The gospel is just that simple, brother. If you make Jesus your Lord, sin cannot be your Lord. Hallelujah. I want Sister Gina to go to the piano. I want you to know something else. He's not only effective, he is enough. You don't need anything else but Jesus to save you. Praise God. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And he says, the next verse says, you are complete in him. And that word complete means that that fullness that's in him is put in you so that you partake of the fullness of God in your life. And so, you see, the Christian life is not this matter of being depressed and downhearted and defeated and dragging and so forth. But this Christian life is partaking of the fullness of God that's in Christ Jesus. So that, as the scripture in my text says, we abound in him with all thanksgiving. Praise God. So that literally means we are overflowing because we are in Christ and partaking of his fullness. We are overflowing. And that overflow is demonstrated in our attitude of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Hey, is that your experience? I said, is that your experience this morning? Are you in Christ, complete in him, partaking of his overflowing fullness so that it's overflowing in you and manifested in you by a spirit and attitude of thanksgiving in your life? How many of us got up this morning grumbling and complaining? How many of us got up this morning having our troubles? And how many of us got up this morning praising God for his mercies and looking at the goodness of God and saying, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Brother, you can be in Christ this morning, complete in him. The only reason anybody would backslide is because they're not partaking of the overflowing fullness of Jesus Christ. What does the world look like to a man that's satisfied with Jesus? Huh? What does the appeal of the world mean to a man who's thrilled with Jesus? Are you thrilled with Jesus? The song says, I'm happy with Jesus alone. Hallelujah. Are you in him, complete in him this morning? You know what it is to be delivered effectively by Jesus living in you and you living in him. Has the bonds of sin been broken in your life? Has he so filled you and thrilled you? You don't need the world. I'll tell you, Jesus Christ loves you better than you think.
Yeah. You understand us, and we understand ourselves. You know our pain, our hurts, our disappointments. You've already provided for us upon the cross of Calvary. Don't let us go through life poverty stricken spiritually. When Jesus became poor and weak in his poverty, might be made rich. Oh God, I pray that you help us this morning. Seek our roots into Christ, draw nourishment from the Son of God, till our soul is overflowing with joy and thanksgiving to God. Lord, make us happy saints, joyful saints along the journey. May we have confidence over all is our God, hearing and answering the prayers of his children. Thank you, Lord, no matter what our problems are. Before you get scattered, let me remind you to pick up your newsletters and forward it. Also, remember the service tonight at 6:30.